Michael Moore, no matter what you think of him, was making an appearance on a talk show and said something that was incredibly clever. He said, Mueller, the special prosecutor, he can't indict the president. He can be Trump can be indicted after he's impeached. And I think the problem is going to be that when Trump is indicted or arrested, do we try him as an adult?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ooh.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? So good to be with you. Such a pleasure. Look at me. I'm smiling. You're making me smile. Stop it. Stop doing that. Oh, now I'm blushing. I'm turning all kinds of red shades. I'm 50 shades of red. Stop embarrassing me. Oh, come on. Stop it. Stop it. Just cut it out. I think you're special, too.
Oh!
All right, not like that. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Another person being accused of sexual molestation. Raise your hand if you have not been accused of sexual molestation. Oh, okay. Interesting. Kevin Spacey, who, by the way, is gay. I did not know that. I did not know that, basically because I do not care. That's really the reason. You know, whatever. What do I care? I mean, he's an actor, and he acts, and that's what I, you know, I don't care. I mean, I don't walk into a restaurant, and if the server, if he's gay, I don't care. What do I care? What the hell does that matter to me? Anyway, Kevin Spacey is. And he was accused of sexually molesting, sexually making advances at this point toward a 14-year-old boy who happens to be an actor as well. I don't even remember his name because I never heard of him. But that allegation was made. Now, Kevin Spacey's response is, because this was like 30 years ago or something like that, maybe even longer. Kevin Spacey's response was, I apologize, but I'd be honest with you, I don't remember. And I can appreciate that. I have no idea what I did 30 years ago. Well, Ron, you know, making sexual advances towards somebody 30 years ago is something you'd remember. No, it's not. They're not sexual molestation things. It's not a Cosby deal. This is just like an advance towards an unwanted sexual advance. How often does that happen? I mean, I'm getting confused now. I mean, sexual harassment is a horrible thing, especially in the plight of getting a job or advancing to something. But just, you know, flirting with somebody? I don't know. I don't know where that, and I don't know if that's the Kevin Spacey deal or not. He doesn't even know. It seems that everybody's being accused of some type of sexual misconduct. So now we got to be really careful. you know, about the Harvey Weinstein guy. I mean, you know, he was actually using his power and influence in order to get people to succumb to him. Bill Cosby was actually drugging people. I mean, if you're going to start putting stuff in people's drinks, that's kind of aggressive. I mean, who are you trying to kid, man? That's like that's almost like sexual kidnapping in a way. Mark Halperin, he's with NBC. He's a commentator. He's got allegations against him. I mean, it's just all over the place. Everybody at Fox News, everybody who works at Fox has some kind of sexual allegations either being made or about them. Even the guy who ran Fox News. Everybody at Fox News is being accused of sexual advancements. Except Shepard Smith, not him. Anyway, you'd have to know who he is to understand that comment. It's interesting. So again, I'll ask you, raise your hand if you've made a sexual event. Oh, yeah, again, about the same response. Hey, boy. Trump's Mueller is mulling over this Trump situation. Indictments could be handed down early this week, if not today. It's not going to be anybody that has been in the news. It's going to be the smaller people in the Trump campaign. And then what they do is they indict them. They take them into custody, and they grill them like a ham and cheese sandwich. And they offer immunity and free flu shots if they want to sing. And I'm not talking about singing Sinatra songs. I mean, singing about, like, what really happened in the Trump campaign. You give me information, credible information, about stuff that was going on toward the top, and we'll be easy on you. Otherwise, man, we got you. We got you dead to rights. You could do jail time. This could be pretty heavy, unless you want to give me some information. It's up to you. Okay. Let's see. Jail time for a long time, reputation ruined, or I could become a hero and snitch on somebody. I'll do the snitching, because those people wouldn't spare me if the tables were turned. That president guy, what's his name, Trump or something? He seems loyal to everybody. Not. Why, Trump would throw me under the bus in a second. Why shouldn't I throw him under the bus? Wait a minute, he would do it to me without thinking twice. Why, that bastard. Yes, it was Donald. It was Donald all the way. Check his finances. Check this out. Check this out. I'll tell you exactly what he did. Fine. Now I don't have to go to jail, and I even get a free ice cream cone and a flu shot. You watch and see. This thing's going to start moving at a quicker pace. I don't know if that's good for this country or not. At this point, I don't care. I think all I really care about now is that there is no nuclear war anywhere. I think that's my major focus. The rest of the stuff, let me tell you something, Donald. I know you listen to a lot of news outlets. We're rather popular, but probably not popular enough for you to hear us. But I'm going to talk to you for a second, Donald, whom I've met once before in my life, who seemed like a standoffish son of a bitch, but I don't know. Let me tell you something, Don. Come here. Come a little bit closer to the speaker. Here's all you got to do. Somehow make peace with North Korea. I know it's difficult because the guy's crazy, just like you. Who could understand a crazy person more than you, Don? It's you. It's you. You're the only hope we have. Dealing with a crazy person with a crazy person, by a crazy person. You're the only one who can do this. You go to North Korea, you set up a dialogue, you go to his basement, play some video games, tweet back and forth for a while, play a little ping pong, become friends with him just like Dennis Rodman did. And say, look, you can have your nukes, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but just don't ever use them, please. We won't use them on you. You don't use them on us. We stop this back and forth bickering stuff, and it's fine, okay? But you got to be so careful. You can't sell any kind of technology to any kind of terrorist groups because that would hurt us. And if we become friends, we, you know, that would be really cool. You could benefit greatly from the United States becoming your friend. And we would, if you were our friend, and we would think that we had, you know, some control over the use of your nukes. So can we, like, talk about this at least? Maybe go to a movie and eat popcorn together or something like that? Or something like, you know, we can trade sneakers. Can we get along? Can a 70-year-old man get along with a 14-year-old? I don't know how old he is. That would be the best thing you could do, Don. That would be the best thing you could do. Then everybody would say, holy crap, this guy did it. Make a little peace in the Middle East. I know your son-in-law there, Jared Kushner, married to that person on that 70s show. Who am I thinking of? The Jared Kushner. Who's on that 70s show? Ashton Kushner. Oh, okay. Very close, though. Very, very close in name. You go to China, which you're going to plan to do anyway this week. Go to China and say, look, you know, we can both flourish. You can have a great economy. We can have a great economy. What's the problem there? I mean, and then the Russia thing, you're screwed. You're screwed anyway. But, you know, maybe if you do all this other stuff, people will look the other way. You're screwed with Russia, Don. I mean, who are we trying to kid? It's quite obvious, by the way, you protect them and you get so huffy, your hair stands up on end if we talk about your collusion with Russia. You get very, very, only if you actually did collude would your response be so demonstrative. So you're screwed there, let's face that. But you can do the China thing that's so easy to do. You could do the North Korea thing, just open up your little heart, you know, make believe you have one for a little while. Just like the, you know, the Tin Man. Or the Scarecrow, whatever the hell, I don't know. I watched the movie, but I can't remember who was going for what. One went for a brain, I think the brain was a Scarecrow. Or the brain was the president. I'm not sure which one was going for the brain. Anyway, Don, you could do that. You could be the masterful man of the globe and bring everybody together. Would that work or what? You could be impeached and still be loved, just like Clinton, or those that love Clinton. So, Don, that's my advice to you. Get on the plane, get out of this country, and start making friends. Start kissing up. Be friendly. Be nice. Start relationships. Use that dual personality thing that you claim you have, which you don't. Come on, man. Be a little two-faced. I don't like the face you have. Get another face. Be three-faced, probably even better. Can you do that for me, Don? Love you. Mwah. Thanks, bye. Why don't they ever listen to me? Why don't these guys ever, ever listen to me? It's beyond me.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Hey, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for doing so. I think it's awfully polite of me to thank you. I think other people don't do that, but I do. So let's take that into consideration next time, shall we? I think we shall. I do this every single weekday, whatever this is, I do it. Unless it's Thanksgiving or something like that, then maybe not. Christmas, I don't think so. I don't know why, but I don't think so. You can find us here, right here on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, MetroSouthBroadcasting.com. Oh, God, so many places. iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Podbean Network, even on your Amazon Alexa thing, we're there as well. It's amazing, but true. On NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, you can take a look at my blogs. I don't know what the hell that is, but I do them. You can tweet with me. We can take a bath together. I mean, it's just amazing. Go to the Facebook page. There's nothing there. But go to the Facebook page, which is New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. Go there. For the hell of it, if you got nothing else to do. This is music by Jason Shaw. He does music for our program. Thank you, Jason. And John Shanahan is your announcer. I have a dog. I love my dog. Love my dog to pieces. Can't imagine life without my dog. I was searching around the Internet of Fools, the highway of stupidity. And I came across something very interesting that I didn't know. I mean, I know that dogs aren't supposed to eat chocolate, but beyond that, I wasn't sure what things are dogs not supposed to eat. Because I think when we're doing like Thanksgiving and we're having our meals and stuff, we throw some food down to the dog and the dog eats everything. The dog's a human garbage disposal. But then the dog throws up every once in a while, and then you're like wondering, well, why'd you throw up? It's because you were giving it food. That people eat. Dog food is like specifically for dogs. Here are some things. It's a list of things that you should never feed your pet, cat or dog. Never feed your pet these foods. Grapes and raisins. No, never. Never give your dog or cat a grape or a raisin or most fruits, but especially grapes and raisins. They are toxic. There's a toxin in those fruits to your pet animals, and it can cause kidney failure rather fast and extreme. So never feed your pet grapes or raisins. Never feed your pet macadamia nuts, or nuts in general, but especially macadamia nuts. They're very, very high in fat saturation, and apparently dogs and cats cannot handle that type of fat. Avocados, don't do it. Don't feed your pets avocados. And you're thinking, avocados? What's the problem with that? No, don't do it. Avocados will give your pet an intestinal problem that could be extreme. Never give your pet, this is very important, I did not know this, xylitol, which are most artificial sweeteners, or artificial sweeteners. Don't give your pet anything. If you have, like, ice cream that has, Splenda in it or something like that, don't give it to your dog. Never give your dog anything with artificial sweeteners in it. Important. Why? That's poison to them. That chemical in there is poison. Why isn't it poisonous to humans? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Do I look like a scientist? Am I wearing a lab coat? No. You know not to give him chocolate for many reasons. There's a lot of things in chocolate that that really bother dogs. It can cause death. But it's the caffeine that is also a problem. So no coffee, no chocolate for your pets ever, 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 ever. That's fatal. It can be fatal. Salty foods. See, that's why when you're eating a dinner or having lunch or something, we salt our foods. A lot of prepared foods are incredibly oversalted. if you just throw a scrap to the dog, dogs can't handle high sodium content. It causes very extreme dehydration quickly in their bodies. Very dangerous. No hops, no beer. That can cause an elevated heart rate in your dog, and you don't want that. No hops, no beer for your pets. Doe. Do not give doe to your pets, nor to a female deer. Get it? Doe, a female deer, raindrop goes sun. Here's the scary part about a pet eating doe. Doe actually, like when it gets into the dog's digestive system, it continues to rise. It starts to rise even more, and it can cause like incredible quick blockage. That doe is rising inside your pet's body because of certain reactions within the pet's body. Doe never for your pet. Here's an interesting thing that, again, I did not know. Do not feed raw meat or eggs to your dog. Now, I don't feed raw eggs to anybody, so I don't understand why that would be a problem. But we always think that raw meat for a dog, they're animals. Why wouldn't they want raw meat? It's the same reason people don't eat raw meat. It has nothing to do with the protein or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that there are incredible, horrible bacteria, intestinal bugs and crap that are in raw meat. You have to cook meat first. And that's the same for dogs. Dogs, no different in that sense. And that's why we say table scraps are a bad idea, because you don't know what's in them. They can be very high fat content, very high sodium content. The bones can splint and get lodged in their throat. You got to be very careful with table scraps. It's not just because you got some food left on your plate. That's all okay for an animal. That's certainly not true. So I thought I would pass that on to you today. Did you appreciate that? You should appreciate me, man. You should, before you go to bed at night, you should say, and thank God, and Lord, thank God for Ron, who gives us information that we would not otherwise know if it wasn't for that saint of an individual, that talk show host saint, that man, the man. Hey, coming up very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Trista Sutter. Does that name ring a bell to you? Is there a ding that goes off in your head when I say Trista Sutter? It doesn't to me. But then when I found out who she was, I said, oh, yeah, Trista. Okay, sure. Trista Sutter was the, remember the show The Bachelorette? She was the first one. Yeah, she was the Bachelorette, and then all these guys wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I want to date you. Yeah, you don't want to date her, you want to. Anyway, she had a very serious medical situation a little over a year ago, not even actually. She had a seizure, and she didn't know why. I don't know if this is related to it, but we're talking about a certain form of diabetes that has to do with pregnant women, I believe. I could be getting this wrong, so I should just shut up right now, but we're going to talk to her a little bit later on in the show, which isn't too much further away from right now. We'll talk to Trista Sutter, the first bachelorette, about some medical thing. Now I profess I don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I just realized I don't know what I'm talking about. It took me 25 years to realize that. 25 years in radio, and I just realized right now I don't know what I'm talking about. Whew. Wow. Some things take a while in order to surface. And that took a long time. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to the first bachelorette, Trista Sutter. Oh, boy.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. and strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Trista Sutter joins us along with Dr. Mike Russell, and we're first of all, hello.
Hello.
Got that out of the way. Okay.
All right.
Okay. We're talking about. And by the way, how's everybody? Is everybody all right? Would you like a sandwich or something?
We're perfect. We've got lots of good snacks.
Okay. All right.
In front of
us. Very good. I have nothing here. Okay. We're talking about diabetes, which is or a form thereof. Diabetes very, very common now. I think like one out of every two people have some degree of it. That's my belief. I know that I'm wrong though. But we're talking about a certain phase of diabetes. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so we're talking about gestational diabetes, which mm-hmm. is, like you said, it's a special form of diabetes that shows up just during pregnancy and actually generally goes away after pregnancy. But it leads you to an increased risk of diabetes later in life and then also an increased risk of diabetes for the baby.
Okay. And
it affects about almost 10% of pregnancies in America and up to 25% of pregnancies worldwide.
Oh. Is this something that a doctor would mention to the patient or not even bother?
No, yeah, so it's part of the routine screening mm-hmm. That women go through during their pregnancy. They'll do, like, basically a glucose test to see how their body's responding to sugars to see if they're developing gestational diabetes.
Right, which everybody should do anyway. I mean, at least on an annual basis, should have a blood test for your free sugar levels, your glucose levels, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, Trista, I know that this was of particular concern to you.
It was. I actually did that routine screening with my doctor, and at 7 months pregnant with my first, mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, and it was a bit of a shock to the system, I'll say, because, you know, when you're pregnant, you hope that everything will go well. My father does have type 2 diabetes, and so did my grandmother, so I should have known that I had an increased risk, but I really didn't think about it, so it was a bit shocking. And kind of a bummer, but thankfully it was temporary and it did go away. I just wish I would have known kind of the things that I've learned through working with the American Pistachio Growers now, because it definitely would have helped me in my pregnancy.
And how would that have helped you? Would it have helped psychologically, for example, or would there have been something that you could have done?
I mean, it probably would have helped psychologically because I would have known that I was helping myself. But I'll let Dr. Mike talk about the results of a study that they just completed.
Okay.
But essentially, eating pistachios would have helped me because it would have kept my blood sugar levels intact.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So there was a new study that was just published looking at pistachios as a snack for women with gestational diabetes compared to like a traditional carbohydrate snack. And what it found was that the pistachios help control blood sugar and also insulin, which is a hormone that helps regulate your body's blood sugar, help control those better in women with gestational diabetes. And so, you know, with pregnancy, like Trista said, if she would have known that this could have been kind of like a tool in her snacking arsenal, it would have been really important because you have to feed the baby, but you need to do it in a way that's both helpful to the mother and the baby.
I would assume that when you are pregnant, you figure that everything that happens to you could be transposed over, so that becomes a concern, certainly.
Oh, yeah, and actually, if in order to keep the health of yourself and your baby in check, you really, really need to be on top of your blood sugar levels when you do have gestational diabetes. I mean, I remember pricking myself, checking myself three, four times a day to make sure that my levels were, you know, stable. So it's really important for anyone out there with gestational diabetes to be on top of it. And luckily, I wasn't insulin dependent, so I could control mine through exercise and diet, which I did. But having known about pistachios prior to my diagnosis would have been super beneficial. Wow. So I really just wanted to be part of sharing that and helping anyone out there currently with it.
The obvious question here, doctor, is with gestational diabetes, that's a, you know, a recommendation. Is that also a recommendation for anybody who has type 2 or concerns about diabetes? Do pistachios indeed help control that?
Yeah, so they do. There has been other research that showed that if you eat pistachios as part of a meal, so with a carbohydrate-based meal, that you get a control and you get a helping of the controlling of your blood sugar levels, whether regular just diabetes or gestational diabetes, or even someone that's just living a healthy lifestyle. It's a great snack. It's a great thing that you can just add to a dish. You know, it contains a lot of nutrients. So yeah, it's definitely not limited just to people with gestational diabetes.
Do you have to do the shell thing, or do they make them with the shells already off?
They make them pre-shelled, or you could do the shell thing. I often recommend with my clients that they do shell them themselves because it helps you slow down kind of the eating and the snacking. And so it's also a way of helping control, you know, how many calories you're eating.
So it's like eating lobster. You know, you're full, you're exhausted, but you didn't get any food.
Not as bad as lobster, but yeah, similar concept.
Okay, all right. And lobster is, by the way, not that good for you. I assume.
Right.
Okay. All right.
With lots of butter on it definitely may not be.
So, you know, when we do interviews like this, the bottom line always seems to be to set up a relationship with your doctor to the point where you can discuss anything and you can ask questions and there is a relationship. And that's the key to most things, isn't it?
True.
Yeah, I think it is. It's definitely important to have that dialogue with your doctor. And I think the other message is that there are, you know, delicious foods that you enjoy to eat that are also good for you.
Very good.
And this study showed that kind of pistachios fit really well with women with gestational diabetes. It's something that people enjoy eating, but it's also good for you.
But I think also not 100% relying on your doctor to tell you this information. Make sure that you're going out there and getting yourself educated, and that's what we're here to do.
Sounds really good. Did you ever try to shuck your own oyster? It's impossible to do. I can't.
But pistachios are really easy.
Pistachios are much easier to shell than oyster.
All right, just try making comparisons.
No knives required.
No knives required.
All right. Hey, it's great to talk to the both of you. And Trista, I assume everything's great now?
Everything's awesome, yeah. Perfect. Very happy. Living life in Colorado.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much to the both of you, and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Oh, by the way, before you go, where do we get more information?
You can go to AmericanPistachioGrowers.org for more information all about, and I think they have included on there the information
on the study
as well.
Great. Yep. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Lovely, lovely people, Dr. Mike and Trista. They're not married, by the way. They're just, one's a doctor and one's a bachelorette that got married and had a kid. I guess. Or is that backwards? Or did the doctor get married and have a kid? And Trista is a doctor? And, oh, God, I'm so confused. I'm out of time for today. Look, let's be honest with each other. Neither of us really understand what we're doing. So we have that in common. I don't know about you, but I'm a little peckish. So I'm going to have a little something to eat, maybe a beverage. I suggest you do the same. I'll meet up with you again here tomorrow around the same time. You can do any time you want tomorrow. We'll do like a Halloween special kind of thing. That'll be bizarre. Oh my God, will that be bizarre or what? Yeah, when the little kids come to your door to collect candy, that should be fun. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Hey, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Bye. Bye now. What kind of sandwich are you going to have? Sounds good.